Got the recording on?
Yep, I have the recording on.
Okay.
Okay, so we are holding on the last line of Ayin Aleph Omud Bey. Now, we discussed previously this morning about the Machloekes Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish about the case where a person where there were two kezesim of chalev, for example, or two other isurim that he did. He found out about the first one, and later on they were originally behelamecha, but then he found out about them separate. So we discussed this three. We said Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish argue about whether he can bring one chatos to cover both of them. Rish Lakish says yes. Rabbi Yochanan says two separate chatos, and we discussed three possible ways of understanding their machloekes. We said one way would be to assume that the machloekes is at when he finds out in between. So even though he hadn't yet designated the korban, just the fact that he found out already, according to Rabbi Yochanan, would be enough to make a chiluk and to make it that now the second one needs a separate chatos. And meanwhile, Rish Lakish would say that yediyah is not enough, that you need hafrosha, actually designating the korban. Or maybe that the machloekes is after he designated the korban, where Rabbi Yochanan would say once he designated the korban, then it's too late to have it apply to a second instance of the same aveira as well. And Rabbi Shlokish would say that's still fine until you actually bring the korban. Or third way we had to understand the machloekes is that Rabbi Yochanan says even just knowing already is enough to make a chiluk. And Rish Lakish says, never mind that, not until you actually bring the korban. So in other words, either they're arguing after stage one, which is the yediyah, and before stage two, which is the hafrasha, or after stage two, before stage three, between designating the korban and bringing it, or they're arguing about both cases. And Rabbi Yochanan is saying, once you have stage one, the yediyah already makes it that you have to bring a new korban. And Rish Lakish is saying, not until stage three. And we said also there could be a suffix, there could be an addition of suffix, which case Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish are arguing about. Now we're going to bring something else in that connection, which then is going to relate to that machlokes of Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. Now, like this, till now we've been talking about a chatos. Now we're going to shift gears a bit and talk about an osham. Now you have like this. We know from morning davening that there are six kinds of osham that a person can bring. Five of them are for a vadai. Five of them are where he knows he has to bring them. One of them is an osham toloi. Of those five, three of them come for averus: asham me'ilos, asham zelos, and asham shivcha harufa. And now, within the case of an osham, you have a situation as follows. Let's say you have a person who has a suffix whether he committed me'ila or not. What's going to happen when he finds out that he did me'ila? We're talking about he did it b'shogeg. Then actually he's going to have to bring an asham me'ilos, and he's also going to have to pay hekdesh keren b'chomesh for the keren plus 25% for what it is that he ate. So you have a case as follows. Let's say a person has a suffix whether he committed me'ila. So for example, the case that it mentions in Christus, so we learned about it during this past year and all of our elul time. We talked about. Let's say you have a case, a person has two pieces of meat in front of him, one from Kodshim, one from Cholin, and he ate one of them and he doesn't know which one. So then, we're saying he has to bring an Oshem Toloi for the fact maybe he committed Ne'ilah, maybe not. That's not necessarily the actual halacha anyway, because the halacha is that you actually only bring an Oshem Toloi where if he did it b'mezid, he'd be chayav kares. And in this case, there's no mezid for a person who does me'ilah b'mezid is not chayav kares. But according to the opinion of Rabbi Akiva over there, and we have machlokes of Taufin and Rabbi Akiva. So what happens? So again, he's bringing an osham toloi in that case. Now Rabbi Akiva says that when is he bringing the actual asham me'ilos only and the keren b'chomesh only when he actually finds out that he committed me'ilah. Whereas Rav Tarfin says, you don't have to make him bring two separate ashamos, because after all, Reb Tarfon says, look, I mean, the same kind of animal that he's bringing for an Asham, for an Oshem Tolui, the same kind he's bringing for an Asham Me'ilos, both of them have to be a ram, unlike some of the other, now, in a typical case where a person did something which is a Sofek Chassas, and now he has to bring an Oshem Tolui, they're not only different kinds, they're different kinds of korban, because one's a Chassas, one's an Oshem, they're also different kinds of animals, because a Chassas for a regular person is a female sheep or a female goat, whereas an Oshem is a ram, a male adult sheep. So they're completely different. But over here, Reb Tarfon says, look, if he knew for sure that he committed Me'ilah, then he's bringing an Oshem, which is a ram worth at least two Tzoyim, for an Oshem totally the same exact thing. So why should he have to bring two Oshemers? What he should do is he brings one Oshem and he makes a Tanai on it. He says, he makes a Tanai. If I did commit Me'ilah, then this will be for my Asham Me'ilah. And if not, then this will be an Oshem Tolui. And then Reb Tarfon says, if he eventually ever finds out that he actually committed Me'ilah, then he does not have to bring another Oshem, meaning, in other words, therefore, so Rashi says, the result is, it comes out, therefore, Reb Tarfon is saying that even though he didn't know when he brought this Oshem, whether he's actually chayev for Me'ilah or not, nevertheless, the Oshem covers that. It covers not only the suffix, but also the Vadai. So now we're going to be talking, according to that opinion of Reb Tarfon, we're going to mention a din in that connection. Tosfos actually disagrees with Rashi and brings the actual Gemara in Christus over there, where we see that Reb Akiva agrees with Reb Tarfon in principle on that, and they're just arguing about the practicality of it, where you have a situation where because after all, you have to pay the Keren V'Chomish as well. If the total value of the two Ashamos is less than a keren v'chomish plus an Oshem, then he might as well bring the two Ashamos. Only if the value of the keren v'chomish plus the Oshem is going to be greater than his Me'ilah, only then, so then Rabbi Akiva says, then in that case, you might as well not have to, when it's a large amount of Me'ilah, then it's more worthwhile for him, it's more cost effective for him to do that, to bring two Ashamos, because he may or may not end up having to pay the keren v'chomish. He may not necessarily find out. But where it was a small me'ilah, Rabbi Akiva would agree with Reb Tarfon, and then he might as well just bring one Oshem and make a tanai, because he still stands to gain from that. So therefore, Tosfos says, it's not really the opinion of Reb Tarfon versus Rabbi Akiva over here, because actually Rabbi Akiva would agree with the basic fact itself. Okay, so the Pnei Yeshua and Marsha and various other Achronim talk about different reasons why Rashi insists that it's the opinion of Reb Tarfon. Anyway, according to that opinion, let's go with what Rashi is saying, that this represents the opinion of Reb Tarfon. So we're going to talk according to that opinion. We're going to have an implication from it for another case involving an Oshem. So Oma Ola, Lamanda Oma Oshem Vader Leboya Yudia Betchila. If we follow the opinion, which again, Rashi is saying is the opinion of Reb Tarfon, that when it comes to an Oshem Vadai, you don't have to have, before you bring the korban, that you actually know for sure that you did the avera. It's enough to have, even if he only has a suffix, because that's what the Tarfon is saying, that he's able to bring one korban and have it do double duty. If he actually committed me'ilah, then it'll be the Asham me'ilah, and if not, then it's going to be an Oshem Tolui. So we see, according to him, and it'll work, because even according to the Tarfon, even if he finds out later that in fact he had committed me'ilah, he does not have to bring another Oshem. Therefore, says Ola, we can deduce from that as follows. Bo'al chomish be'ilus b'shikha harufa. Now let's talk about one of the other cases of an Oshem, which is where a person is bringing an Asham shikha harufa. Now, so we know, we learned in Chrysos the details of what a shikha harufa is. We had a three or four way machloikas tanoim, what exactly a shikha harufa is. The halacha is that a shikha harufa is a situation where you have a woman who's chestia shivcha b'chestia b'chorin. She's half shivcha knanis, half free. For example, a case of that would be that she had two owners and one of them freed her. And she is betrothed, she is mekudesh to an Eved Ivri. Because as we know from Parshas Mishpatim, it was just now in Gimel Prochim of Rambam as well, that an Eved Ivri, his master can give him a shivcha knanis for a wife or a temporary wife or whatever, and their children will be avodim. So in this case, she's allowed to be married to this Eved Ivri, because no matter how you look at it, the Bachur inside of her is allowed to be married to him, just like she's allowed to be married to any Jew. And the Shifcha side of her is allowed to be married to him on the grounds that he's an Eved Ivri. If somebody else now is Mezana with her, then that somebody else needs to bring an Asham Shifcha Charocha. And unlike most cases of Karbonus, most cases a person brings a korban only if it was b'shogeg, Shifcha Charufa is one of the rare examples where a person brings the korban even if they were mazing. So therefore, so Ula says, Ba'al Chomesh Be'ilis, the Shifcha Charufa, if he, let's say, had relations with the same Shifcha Charufa five times, and in between, each time he had found out what he had done wrong, so in other words, let's say he didn't do it b'mazing. Each time he did it b'shogeg, but he found, and each time after doing it, he found out this was a Shifcha Charufa, I shouldn't have done that, or she's off limits to me, and I shouldn't have done that, as the case may be. Nevertheless, he's only chayev one asham for the entire thing. And the reason for that is basically like this. We said before that one way of understanding the machloikas of Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish was if he has a yediya between eating the kazayim of chaylev, for example. So he ate one kazayis, then he found out that it was osur, then he ate another one, etc. Rabbi Yochanan is making him chayev an individual chatas for each one. And he said, whereas Rish Lakish not. Again, that was according to one way of understanding their machloikas. But over here, when it comes to a shivcha charufa, it doesn't matter because by a Shifcha Charufa, given that there's no difference between Shogeg and Mezid, so therefore it doesn't matter that he had a Yediyah in between. So again, within Reb Tarfon's opinion, we would say that Since he says that you don't need to have a yediyah before bringing an asham, it's enough even if you didn't know yet that you didn't have a yediyah. Therefore, in this case, the yediyah doesn't matter because over here we're talking when it comes to Shifcha Charufa, it doesn't matter whether he was shogeg or mazid. So according to Rish Lakish at least, or according to maybe one way of understanding Rabbi Yochanan, we would say that according to Rabbi Yochanan that each yediyah, according to one way of understanding Rabbi Yochanan, that each yediyah makes for a separate chatas, then the same thing each yediyah makes for a separate asham when it comes to Shifcha Charufa. When he was shrugging. So Rabbi Yochanan would say that he has to bring separate ashamos because each time he found out. But Ula is telling us that's only according to Rabbi Akiva's opinion, whereas according to Rabbi Tarfon's opinion, given that according to Rabbi Tarfon, you don't even need a yediyah in order to bring an asham, then even Rabbi Yochanan would agree in that case that you don't have to bring separate ashamos for each one. So we can look in the middle of the first Rashi on the Amud, Baal Hei De'ilis. Let's do the whole thing inside, I guess. Baal Hech Be'ilis B'Shifcha Charufa B'Shogeg, V'Nodulai Ben Kol Achas V'Achas, he finds out between each Be'ilah that what he did was wrong. Ein Chayv Al Achas, according to the Tarfon's opinion, he would only be Chayv one. L'Hochi Nochet Shifcha Charufa, M'Shem B'Mevi Korban Echal Ad Alveret Habe. The reason we're mentioning Shifcha Charufa is because that's the unique case where there is a concept we learn from a pasuk actually that we can bring one korban to cover many averus, many instances of it. Because it's not the krisas hemavi and korban echad al averus habe. There are actually five such cases, and one of them is a baal shifcha bias habe v'chola. So v'chit nan machnisin the nifter korban echad. So we would say that when do we say he's potter from one korban handing me the b'mezid? That would only if he was mezid. Shumin amviim amezid to shogig. Shifcha Charufa is one of those cases where a person brings a korban even if he was mazid, just to be kodas to you, because the pasuk says that he brings a korban even when she is getting malchus, because kodas means there's malchus, or malchus for shogeg lesser, obviously there's no malchus if they were shogeg. That's what actually happens in that case. If they were mazed, she, if they were mazed, she gets malchus, he brings the korban. But Gabi mazed, Rabbi Kroz, Nifter, korban, Echal, Abiyatabe. So therefore, the pasuk tells us that when it was the mazed, he brings one korban from many beers to the Yalapasim, as the Gemara learns there from pasuk. But Choshekin, Abiyatrogig, Haibe, Behelam Echad. All the more so, if they were all Beshogig and all Behelam Echad, then of course he can bring one korban for all of them. Avol, but here's the case we're talking about over here. Shogig with no delay in deal of beer. If he was shogig and he found out between one beer and the next, then lamanda bo yadir betchila ba'oshem vaday. If we were to say, like Rabbi Akiva, that when you're bringing an oshem vaday, it has to be before you bring the korban that you knew that you did the avera, then here where he has a yadir between one and the next, choshevu l'chalik la'ashamos, then that yadir is significant enough to make for separate ashramas, kavos, kapara, am chalekas ba'oisem mezid, because it would be the equivalent of actually doing the kapara, of actually bringing the korban, where obviously if he did one B of the mezid and brought the korban and then does another one of the mezid, obviously he has to bring a separate korban. Well, so according to Rabbi Yochanan, we said before that he had to bring a separate one for each one. He had said that if he ate two kezesim of chalev in one halem, and he finds out separately about each one. Rabbi Yochanan had said she may be chatas or kol achas v'achas. He brings a separate chatas for each one. The chashiva lechiluk yediyah kila hevi korban ben yedila yediyah. According to one way of understanding Rabbi Yochanan, as we said this morning, that he would consider each yediyah makes it that he has to bring a separate korban, as if he had already brought the korban. Hachanami chashiv chiluk yediyah. So here also we would say each yediyah makes that he has to bring a separate korban. So va'ashmi'in and ula wants us to know that that is only according to the opinion that you need a yediyah before you bring the osham. But according to the tarfin that you don't even need that yediyah, you're able to bring an osham where it's only a suffix whether you did the avera, and even if it turns out later on that you actually did do it, you're going to be potter. So therefore, eina chashuva l'chalik b'entayim. So over here, the yediyah is not considered important enough to divide one from the other. Eina chayiv alachas, and therefore he's only chayiv even only one, even according to Rabbi Yochanan. Yekivin b'le chashuva l'yediyah, because since the yediyah is not considered significant, loy mechalekas, then it doesn't divide anything one from the other. So why are we mentioning this here? Rashi says v'hol milsa d'ola nakat v'hacha. The reason we're mentioning what Ola says over here is mishum de rabdimi, the ayri Allah, because later on rabdimi is going to refer to this point, and is going to refer to this point. Upachin and Allah mispoke to the Rabbi Yechanan Rish Lakish. We're going to ask on rabdimi based on machloikas of Rabbi Yechanan Rish Lakish. So therefore, that's why the Gemara is bringing this in over here. In fact, actually, Marsha points out that Rashi didn't even need to say that. In this statement of Ula by itself, before we even get to rabdimi further on, in Ula's statement itself, we're already mentioning what we're already mentioning, as Rashi just did over here, about what Rabbi Yochanan says versus what Rish Lakish has said. So therefore, it's relevant for that reason alone. Anyway, so that's what Ola is saying. However, Maskefor of Hamnuna, Rav Hamnuna says, I have a problem with that. Ela me'ata, by that logic, so you're telling me that the idea between one and the next does not make a distinction, and you have to bring only one korban for all of them. What would happen, Baal v'chazo or Baal v'hifrish korban? What would happen if he did one be'ilah and then another be'ilah, and he designated a korban, or actually a goy tabach takes out v'chazo or Baal, because it doesn't even really matter whether he did a second be'ilah or not. Whatever the case, he did one be'ilah with the shifcha harufa. He set aside the korban, but Omar, and he says, I'm tinu l'yab she'evel, and then he says, wait for me, don't bring the korban yet, until I actually have a chance to have relations with her again. So you're going to say in that case he's only chayev one, because if you're going to say that there's no difference whether there's a yediyah in between or not, then the same thing should be not just the yediyah but also maybe even designating the korban, because again according to Rav Tarfon it doesn't really matter. You were able to designate the korban before you found out whether you actually committed me'ilah, and not only designate it, but actually even bring the korban, and it covers the fact that later on he finds out that he did me'ilah, and it still covers it. It still covers it retroactively. So therefore, it's the same thing over here. It should be the same thing. So we know it's not like that. So Tosva says, okay, we're not talking about Rabbi Yehuda ben Mazid. We don't mean he's saying, I want to go and ben Mazid do the Aveda. Again, fine, that's not going to work. We're talking about when he says, Hamtin le'ab she'evel, ab she'evel, he means wait with bringing the korban, because I may have a future shoygin, which I want to cover with this korban as well. Anyway, though, the point is, Rav Amnuna is saying, obviously that doesn't work. Omale. So Ula answers him, Maisa b'l'achaf, Rosh HaKamer. You're talking about when he did a second action after he designated the korban? No. Maisa b'l'achaf, Rosh HaKamer. I was never talking about that then he can be potter. Sure, you can have. If he did multiple maisim before he designated the korban, then yes, according to the Tarifin, we can say the one korban covers all of them. And even if he only found out about one of them, after he brought the korban, then it'll still cover it retroactively. But it's not going to cover new maisim that he does after he designates the korban. That not. So yes, I'm going to say that there's no difference between there's no difference with Yediyah, but when it comes to Afrosha, when it comes to actually designating the korban, that's different. Okay, so that's Ola's statement. Next, the author of Dimi Omar, when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, he reported another way of looking at it. Lamanda Omar Oshem Vade Boy Yediyah Betchila. Now let's turn to the opinion of Rav Akiva, the opinion that Rashi says is the opinion of Rav Akiva. And Tosfos is saying not necessarily Rav Akiva, because again, Tosfos points out based on the Gemara over there, apparently Rav Akiva agrees with the basic concept that you can bring an Oshem, that you can bring an Oshem without having known for sure that you did the Aveira, as long as it's the same type of animal. So according to Tosfos, it would have to be other Chachamim that we're attributing this opinion to, whatever. According to that opinion, then we would say it would work differently. In that case, if the person did five be'ilus with the shivcha harufa, and after each one he found out that it was osur, then, unlike in Ula's case, where he's bringing one osham to cover all of them, here he would be chayav for everyone individually, because here, according to Rav Akiva's opinion, we would say the yediya is significant. When it comes to shivcha harufa, there's no difference between Shoigig and Mazid. It doesn't matter. The fact of the matter is, when he's Shoigig, then the idea does make a difference, because we see Rav Akiva says the idea makes a difference, for example, when it comes to Me'ilah, where Me'ilah, you only bring the korban for Shoigig, as is true of most Taveras. So the same thing over here. The fact that he had a idea in between when he was Shoigig, therefore we'd say that he has to bring a separate Osham for each one. So then, the case that we mentioned before, the case that Rashi referred to before from the Mishnah in Christus that said you could bring one korban to cover all of them, would be where he did them all b'mezid. Where then, b'mezid, obviously there's no yediyah between one and the next, because he knew the whole time that what he did was osur. So Rashi says Rav Dimi and Ula are not actually arguing. They're mentioning according to two different opinions. Ula is telling us how things would work out according to Rav Tarfon, and Rav Dimi is telling us how things would work out according to Rav Akiva. Although we'll see later
but
on.
If that's the case, why do we need their opinion to tell us how things according to Rav Tarfon and Rabbi Akiva? We don't need them to tell us that. We know what they think.
We know what Rav Akiva and Rav Tarfon say when it comes to Asham Me'ilas, where the question is, did he do it b'shoigig? Where the question is, did he do it and then he's bringing an Asham Tolerei, or did he not? We don't know whether he did it, and therefore he might have to bring an Asham Tolerei, or if he finds out that he does it, then he brings an Asham Ne'ilus. Versus over here, an Asham Tolerei doesn't come into the picture. Tosfos points out over here, we never find any place that there's an Asham Tolerei for Shivcha Harufa. And in fact, there's not going to be. I heard him point out that the rule is, again, that you only bring an Asham Tolerei for something where there's Koris B'mezid. Okay, according to Rabbi Akiva, Me'ila is a special case. There is no Koris B'mezid for Shivcha Harufa, because B'mezid also is bringing a korban. So we wouldn't have known that the same rule, we wouldn't have known that the same principles that Rav Tarfon and Rav Akiva are saying there by Asham Ne'ilas versus Asham Tolerei, we wouldn't know that it applies to, that we wouldn't know how they apply to Asham Shivcha Harufa if Ula and Rav Dimi respectively didn't tell us.
You're saying then that the fact that there's no kares in the case of Shivcha Harufa makes the outcome different? Why is that?
We would think that it would make the outcome different, because there we're talking about there's no ushum tolerance involved. There you have the same underlying principle, the question of whether your dia is significant or not, but we're applying it completely differently. In the case of Asham Ne'ilos versus Asham Tolui, the question is, did he in fact do it and then he's bringing an Asham Ne'ilos, or is he left with a suffix and then he's bringing an Asham Tolui? And Reb Taufman says that the same Asham can do double duty as an Asham Tolui, and it will also cover him if he ever finds out that he actually committed Me'ila, because it's all the same kind of animal. And here we're saying that when it comes to Shifcha Harufa, according to Reb Taufman, since Yediyah makes no difference, then therefore it doesn't matter that there was a Yediyah between one and the next, and he's still bringing only one Korban, whereas according to Reb Akiva, that a Yediyah makes a difference, and therefore he's bringing a separate Korban. So we're applying the same principles, but we're applying them to a completely different case, and therefore Ula and Rav Dimi have to tell us respectively what would be in those situations. However, Amalei Abaya, but Abaya says to Rav Dimi, how can you say that where you need Yediyah B'Tchila, you definitely need a separate chatas for each, a separate osham for each one. Baharei chatas, Abaya says, consider the case of a chatas, the Be'inyan Yediyah B'Tchila. There's no question, in order to bring a chatas, you have to know that you did the Averi. You can't, unlike an osham, we're fine. We have the opinion of Reb Taufman that says that even if you didn't know yet that what you did, that if, even if you didn't know yet whether you did the Aveda for sure, you can still bring an Asham Tolui. For a Chatas, there's obviously not. A Chatas, you have to know what Aveda you did. And, hopefully, Rabbi Yechanan and Rabbi Shimon and Lakish. And yet, Rabbi Yechanan and Rabbi Lakish still argue, as we had before, and I in Aleph on the days, about the case over there with the two Kazesim of Chalev, where Rabbi Yechanan had said, according to one way of understanding their Machlokas, that once he finds out about the first one, then Rabbi Yochanan says he has to bring a separate korban for each one, and Rish Lakish says that not. So it comes out, according to Rish Lakish at least, we're saying that Yediyah doesn't make a difference. So by Shifcha Harufa also, why are you saying as a given that if he finds out after each one, he's going to have to bring a separate Asham for each one? Why? According to Rish Lakish, we see in the case of Chalev that he doesn't have to. And again, you have the key difference over here, of course, when it comes to Shivcha Harufa, you have no difference between Shogig and Mazid. So there's no reason to say, according to Rish Lakish at least, that you should have to bring a separate korban for each time that he had relations with the Shifcha Harufa, because it should be exactly the same thing. He did it with Mazid, he brings one korban for all of them. B'shogig should be the same thing according to Rish Lakish also. So why are you saying it's a given that if you hold Yediyah B'Tchila, that if you hold that you need Yediyah, which is Rabbi Akiva's opinion when it comes to Asham Ne'ilos, that therefore applying that to Shifcha Harufa, you should require a separate one for each one because there was Yediyah in between, according to Rish Lakish, we shouldn't require that. So the question is Ishti. Rav Dimi was quiet and he didn't answer Abaya. So Abaya says to him, to try to salvage what Rav Dimi said, maybe you're not talking about where there was only a Yediyah in between. Maybe you're saying that according to Rabbi Akiva's opinion, we'd have to be talking about that he actually did another Be'ilah with the Shifcha Harufa after designating the korban, V'chidu Rav Hamnuna, which would be like the Kasha that Rav Hamnuna asked before, and in fact, Ula had answered that there is in fact that distinction. So we would say this, so according to you, Rav Dimi, we would say the same distinction, that you can only have the Asham cover Maisim that were done before the Hafrasha, but not Maisim that were done after it. So in that case, then that would be the case you're talking about, where he actually had relations with the Shifcha Harufa, designated a korban, then did another Be'ilah with the Shifcha Harufa, and that's where you're saying that according to Rabbi Akiva, even Rish Lakish would agree that there's a separate Asham for each one. like Rav Hamnuna said, because there'd be a difference again between Yediyah and Hafrasha. Amalei Ein, and Rav Yemi says, yes, in fact, that's the case that I'm talking about. So that would be the case where I would say that everybody, meaning both Rav Yechon and Rish Lakish, would agree that he has to bring separate korbanos to each one. Which means, by the way, it comes out then, we started by saying that Rav Dimi and Ula are not necessarily arguing because they're talking according to two different opinions. They're talking according to Rav Tarfon versus Rav Akiva. Tosfos says over here that actually maybe not. That it, now it comes out actually that Rav Dimi is actually arguing with Ula. Because Rav Dimi would say that only according to Rav Akiva does it not work, implying that according to Rav Tarfon it would work, whereas Ula had said that even according to Rav Tarfon it doesn't work. But okay, and it would come out then looking at it that way that Rav Dimi in fact would argue with Ola what would be within Rav Tarfon's opinion. So that's why we brought this matter of Shifta Harufa in. That's why we brought Ula's and Rav Dimi's statements in, because we were using Rav Yechon and Rish Lakish as machlokes in the course of the discussion, and therefore it relates directly back to what we were discussing before. Continues the Gemara. He also Robin, when Robin came from Eretz Yisrael, and you often had a thing, by the way, you find many places in the Gemara that Rav Dimi would come with a statement that he brought from the Amoraim in Eretz Yisrael. Later on, Robin would come with an improved version of the statement or with a different thing that clarifies it or whatever. But he also, so Robin comes with new information. He says like this, Omar, Hakol Mordim B'Shivcha Harufa, both Rav Yechanan and Rish Lakish would agree in a certain case regarding Shivcha Harufa, that he didn't need a separate ashram for each one. There'd be a different case with Shivcha Harufa where they would both agree that he brings only one korban for the multiple beers, or machlokes for Shivcha Harufa. And then there would be a third case or a third scenario where, according to a third opinion, where there would be the machlokes or Yechon and Rish Lakish by a Shivcha Harufa, whether he's bringing separate korbanos or not. So what does that mean? What are the three cases? That would be Kedu'ula. That would be following Ula's statement. That again, if we go according to Rav Tarfon, then we said according to Rav Tarfon that Yediyah by an Osham doesn't make a difference. Then Rav Yechanan would have to agree that in the case of Shivcha Harufa, it also doesn't make a difference. And Mezid and Shogig are the same when it comes to Shivcha Harufa. And therefore, even though he had Yediyah in between, he would still, according to Rav Tarfon, within Rav Tarfon's opinion, Rav Yechanan would say he brings only one Osham. That was the first case that Robin's talking about. That would be Rav Hamnuna. Then, on the other hand, when you have Rav Hamnuna's point, that if he actually designated the korban, then we wouldn't say that the new bia accurate combines with the old one. And you would say, even Rav Tarfon would say he has to bring a separate osham for each one. And then, umachlokes, the Shivcha Harufa, then when would we say that Rabbi Yechon and Rish Lakish would argue in the case of Shivcha Harufa, one korban or multiple korbanos, that would be lamanda oma osham vade bo yediyah betchila. That would be according to the opinion, according to Rabbi Akiva, who says that even with an osham vade, you do have to have yediyah betchila. That was Rabbi Akiva, where we said before that he does not allow you to bring an osham and say that it'll be an Oshem Tolery or an Oshem Vadai, depending which one I need, because he requires that you actually know before you bring the Oshem, before you Mechafer for a certain Avera, whether you actually did it or not. So according to him, when it comes to Shivcha Harufa, so then the Yediyas in between one and the next are going to make a difference. But Machlokes of Rabbi Yechanan and Rabbi Shem and Lakish, that would be where we'd have the Machlokes of Rabbi Yechanan and Rabbi Lakish. Where again, we said before on Ayin Aleph on the base that Rabbi Yechanan would say that each Yediyah, that even though they were all originally done Behalem Echad, each Yediyah makes it that it requires a separate Chasa. So the same thing over here, each Yediyah would make it to require a separate Asham. Whereas according to Rish Lakish, that not. Rish Lakish would say that Yediyah is not enough to trigger that. You need something later, Hafrosha or even Kapara. So the same way over here, he would say that even within Rabbi Akiva's opinion, that Yediyah is enough to make a distinction by Asham Me'ilos, but it wouldn't by Asham Shivcha Harufa. And therefore, because again, there's no difference between Shogig and Mezid, and therefore that according to him, you'd bring only one. So that's what Robin is saying. So you have three different ways of understanding what Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish would say, depending on whether we talk, whether we're talking according to Rav Tarfon, whether we're talking about according to Rav Tarfon when he only knew about it, according to Rav Tarfon when he designated the korban, or according to Rabbi Akiva when he only knew about it. So then we'd have three different scenarios what Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish would hold. Would they hold that you have to bring only one, or that you have to bring multiple ones, or would they have a machlokes? Okay. So that's that. Now
so there could be two understandings of Rabbi Tarfon and one understanding of Rabbi Akiva?
Not so much two understandings of Rabbi Tarfon, but within Rabbi Tarfon's opinion itself, we have to distinguish between two scenarios. One where there was only yediyah between one bia and the next. So he had relations with the Shifcha Harufa, found out that what he did was wrong, forgot again, did it again, etc., multiple times, and then at the end he designates one, and then at the end he designates a korban, where according to Rav Tarfon, that's good enough. One korban covers it, according to both Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, but we're saying, if on the other hand, he had done the bia, actually designated an animal for a korban, then did another bia, and repeat, then he would have to bring separate, then he'd have to bring separate korbanos for each one, even according to Rav Tarfon. That's what we're saying. And then you have, meanwhile, this is all within Rav Tarfon's opinion, and then when you come to Rav Akiva's opinion, then you don't even get to the point of him designating the korban, then you just have the question, just knowing between one and the next, is that enough to trigger separate korban if they're not? According to Rav Yechon, yes, according to Rish Lakish, no. Okay. Now we're going to talk about another matter involving Shoigig, and now we're going to get more back to things that have to do with Shabbos. We digressed a lot in order to talk about various other cases of chasas involving chaylev and case of an oshim involving a shivcha harufa. So now let's get back to something that's more directly related to Shabbos. Niskavim lahagbia esatolosh v'chosach esamachubar. Suppose a person on Shabbos intended to pick up something that was detached from the ground, and by accident he cut off from the ground something that was attached to the ground, which means, in other words, he did a malacha of koitzer, but without intending to even do a malacha at all. It's called misasik. Misasik literally means like playing around, but it means, in other words, the action that he did, he had no intention. Now, unlike, for example, let's say you have malacha she'en etzricha legufa, where the person is intending to do a certain action to a certain thing, but he's not doing it for the sake of the malacha as it was done in the Mishkan, or he's not doing it for a constructive purpose, etc., as we talked about before in that. Here we're talking about misasik, which is like he's doing something, and accidentally a malacha gets done. So Rashi explains that we're talking about a scenario. Let's say, for example, a knife fell into a plot of, let's say he's walking around in a plot of vegetables on Shabbos. So, and a knife fell on the ground over there. He intended to pick up the knife, and by mistake, as he was picking up the knife, he ended up cutting off a vegetable from the ground. So we're saying he's potter on the ground in this aspect. Tosfos learns differently. Tosfos learns that we're not talking about it with two separate items. We're talking about, Tosfos says, that actually he intended to cut something, thinking that it was detached from the ground, and it turned out that it was attached. So let's say he's out in his garden. Let's say he sees a tomato on the ground. He intends to cut it, thinking that it's already detached from the vine, and it turns out that it's not. It turns out it was still attached to the vine, and he cut it and did the malach. So that's the saying that it would be considered misasik. On the other hand, lachtech at a tolush. That first case was that he didn't even intend to do a malacha of cutting at all. He intended to do lagbia as a tolush. He intended to pick it up off the ground, which again, according to Rashi, he intended to pick up the knife, and in the course of picking up the knife, accidentally he cut a vegetable. Or according to Tosfos, he intended to pick up the tomato off the ground, and he didn't realize that it was actually attached, and he ended up pulling it off the vine. So then he'd be potter on the grounds of misasik because he didn't even intend to do a maisa of this malacha at all. On the other hand, lachtech at a tolush v'chotech at a mechober. On the other hand, if he actually intended to cut something that was detached from the ground, and by mistake, instead he cut something that was attached, so he did intend to do cutting. So again, he did intend to do cutting, but it But in this case, instead he cut something that was attached to the ground, Rava Amma Potter Abaya Amma Chayev. Then Rava would say he's Potter because he didn't intend to do a cutting that is Osir, and Abaya is saying, but after all, he did intend to do an action which can be a Malacha of Shabbos, and therefore Abaya would say it's not considered Mis'asik. Mis'asik would only be where he was intending to do a completely different action. So again, Rashi and Tosfos are arguing over here, also in the second scenario, that according to Rashi, was saying that in the first case, again, it was two different things. He wanted to pick up a knife, and instead, in the course of picking up the knife, he cut the vegetable. In the second case, also, we're talking about, let's say, that there were two vegetables over there, two tomatoes. He intended to cut the one that was detached, and by mistake, he cut the one that was attached. That would be according to Rashi. And according to Tosfos, we'd be talking about, in both cases, we're talking about the same exact item. So first it was he intended to pick it up, thinking that it was detached from the ground, and it turned out it was attached, and he pulled it out. And in the second case, we'd be talking about he intended to cut it, thinking that it was detached from the ground, and it turned out that it was attached. So it's the same action that he intended to do. Okay, so that's when you have the machlokas, Rava and Abaya. Rava says that he's potter because he didn't intend to cut. He didn't intend to do a cutting, which is also because he intended to cut a vegetable that's already detached from the ground. That's allowed on Shabbos. So therefore, Rava would still consider him a misasik. Abaya, Amar Chayev, Derech Miskaven, Machatzicha Ba'alma, Abaya would say he's Chayev because after all, he did intend to do an action of cutting. Misasik, according to Abaya, would only be only where he didn't even intend to do that action at all. And again, according to Rashi, you would say also that if it was the exact same vegetable, then Rava would agree that he's chayav. According to Tosfos, even if it was the exact same vegetable that he was looking at, thinking that it was detached and then meaning to cut it, and then he cut it and it turned out to be attached, then Rava would still say he's potter. Amar Rava Menoah Mino. By the way, and here also Masoret Hashas points out, like we had before on Ayin Omer Beis, that maybe the Girsa over here should not be Rava, but rather Rava, because in Shas we usually find Abaya's opinion comes first. Abaya was older than Rava. It seems that Abaya was older than Rava. Abaya was also the Rosh Hashiva before Rava. So in general, in Shas we usually have Abaya before Rava. So here, where we have Rava before Abaya, that leads Masoret Hashas to say that maybe it should be Rava instead. Okay. Anyway, Omar Rava Menoah Minallah. So Rava says, where do I get this distinction that I'm making within Misasik, that it depends whether he intended to do the distinction that I'm not making, that I'm saying he's considered Misasik, whether he intended to do the same action, which when he did that action, it turned out to be an Isser, versus not. And you, Abaya, are saying if he intended to do the actual action, which turned out to be Osir, he would actually be Chayev. Where am I getting my idea that there's no such distinction? So like this, the Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, Choymer, Choymer Shabbos, Mishar Mitzvahs, Choymer Shar Mitzvahs, Mishar. There's a certain Chumrah in Shabbos compared to all other Mitzvahs, and vice versa, there's a certain Chumrah in other Mitzvahs, or certain other Mitzvahs, as we're going to go on to say, relative to Shabbos. Choymer Shabbos, Mishar Mitzvahs. So we're going to quote the Braisa, and we're going to quote the Braisa, and then Rava is going to spend the whole rest of the Amud explaining the Braisa, and then we're going to get back to you on Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph. We'll see what Rava's proof is from this Braisa. So the Braisa says like this: there's a certain chumrah in Shabbos relative to other mitzvahs, and there's a certain other chumrah in other mitzvahs, a certain other mitzvahs relative to Shabbos. Chumrah Shabbos mishan mitzvahs. There's a chumrah in Shabbos compared to other mitzvahs. Because when it comes to Shabbos, if he did two malachas in one helam, in one period of unknowing, he's chayav a separate chatas for each one, as we said in the Mishnah, that if he knew it was Shabbos, but he didn't know these malachas are also, then he brings a separate chatas for each one. Mash'enken b'shan mitzvahs, as opposed to we do not find that with other mitzvahs, as we're going to see soon, Rava is going to bring an example where we find by other mitzvahs that a similar kind of thing, doing different sub actions of the same isser, does not trigger multiple chatos. So in that sense, Shabbos is more chomer. On the other hand, the chol mishah mitzvahs mishabbos. On the other hand, the Braisa says other mitzvahs or certain other mitzvahs have a chumra over Shabbos. Shebishah mitzvahs shogeg v'lo miskaven chayev, because the other mitzvahs, if he was shogeg without kavana, then he's chayev as opposed to Shabbos. Now, when we say shogeg v'lo miskaven, we don't just mean regular shogeg, because you have Shabbos also. Shabbos, the person is chayev. So we're talking about a special case called shogeg v'lo miskaven, and we're going to have to explain what that means. So thus far the Braisa. So now Rava is going to spend the rest of the Amud explaining what the Braisa is saying. And the reason for that is, in particular, Pnei Yeshua says, because given that, now this Gemara is also brought in Masech the Sanhedrin, and there's an opinion over there in the Gemara, Tosfos, before we say it over here, that says that actually there's a mistake in that Braisa, and therefore that there's something wrong with that Braisa, and therefore you can't use it as a proof. But Rava wants us to know there's no mistake in the Braisa. We can understand the Braisa very well if we go through it phrase by phrase and explain what it's saying. And therefore, once we establish that's a valid Braisa, then I can use it as a proof for my opinion about the definition of Misasa. So, Omamar, Chomer Shabbos Mishah Mitzvahs. We said there's a Chomra in Shabbos relative to other Mitzvahs. Shah Shabbos also Shayim Behelim Echad Chayev. Because when it comes to Shabbos, if he does two different things in one halam, chayev, then he's chayev individually a chatas for each one, mash'en ken b'sham mitzvahs, as opposed to, we said, other kinds of mitzvahs. So we have to figure, what other mitzvahs are we talking about? Heichidami, what is the scenario that the Braisa is contrasting Shabbos with other mitzvahs? Are you going to say the case is, let's say he did two malachas on Shabbos, he harvested and he ground the grain, and then we're saying he's chayev a separate chatas for each one, fine. The kavasah gavasham mitzvahs ocho chayla badam. So what would be a parallel to that with other mitzvahs? Would be, let's say, if he did two different isurim. He ate a kazayis of chaylev and he ate a kazayis of dam. Well then, what do you mean? Then there's no difference. So there is no difference. Hocha tarki mechayev, hocha tarki mechayev. In both cases, he is in fact chayev two chatois. So what do you mean that Shabbos has a chumra over other mitzvahs? So obviously, what do we mean by other mitzvahs? What we would have to say it means, what do we mean, what's the case with other mitzvahs where he's chayiv only one chatas? Would have to be, let's say, let's say he ate two pieces of chaylev, all in one halam, and then of course he's bringing only one chatas for it. Okay, the kavasog, abish shabbos, abish ksira uksira. So, at the parallel to it in Hilchot Shabbos, would be that he did ksira twice. Okay, well then, there's still no difference. Now in each case, he's bringing only one chatas for the two things. So what exactly is the Braisa talking about when it's telling us that there's a distinction between Shabbos and other Averis, where you're bringing two chatois in the case of Shabbos, but in a similar case with a different Avera, you're only doing one. What is that scenario? And the answer is, we have to say, therefore, that the Braisa is talking about where he did two separate malachas of Shabbos, two different Ovis malachas, which therefore makes him chayav two chatois. So what do we mean when we're contrasting that with other mitzvahs? We're not contrasting it with all the other mitzvahs for which a person brings a chatos, but rather with one particular mitzvah, one particular iser, for which a person brings a chatos, namely, avodah zarah. Namely, we're going to refer to Avodah Zarah. There can be a case where a person did, now just like with Shabbos, you have multiple malachas that make a person chayev for Chilul Shabbos, the same way with Avodah Zarah, you have multiple actions that can make him chayev for Avodah Zarah. But unlike with Shabbos, where each Av Malacha makes him chayev for a separate chasas, when it comes to Avodah Zarah, different ways of worshipping Avodah Zarah do not make him chayev separate chasas, the Chidur of Ami. Namely, like Rav Ami says, the Amr Rav Ami, Zideach v'kitter v'nisach v'haloma achas. Suppose a person did three of the various ways of worshipping Avodah Zarah. The Gemara explains in Sanhedrin, you have two. There's a few different ways where a person can be chayev chasas, or still of amazed, for worshipping Avodah Zarah. There can be, as we're going to discuss soon in the Gemara, where he verbally accepts the thing as his God. He says to Keliyah, so you are my God. That makes him chayev skila, or chasas. You also have, if he bows down to it, or if he does any of three other avodas, and those apply whether that's the normal way of worshipping the Avodah Zarah or not, those three avodas are shechting a korban to it, that's zibeach, burning a korban in front of it, as kisser, or pouring a libation, pouring some kind of liquid out in front of it, like the Havdol, like they did on the Mizbeach and the Mizmikdash, which is Nisuch. So all those three, whether this is the normal way of worshipping that Avodah Zarah or not, either way, he's Chayav Chafas for that. In addition, you also have each individual Avodah Zarah, the worshippers and the priests and whatever of each Avodah Zarah came up with their own ways how that particular Avodah Zarah should be worshipped. As we know, famous examples are with Pa'or that they would go to the bathroom in front of it, Melchulus that they would throw stones in front of it, etc. So with that, also a person is Chayav if he worships the Avodah Zarah in the normal way that it's worshipped. So you have the four avodas a person is chayev for any avodah zarah in the world, and then you have the particular method that's used for this particular avodah zarah. Anyway, but Rav Ami says that let's say he worshipped the avodah zarah in multiple ways, or b'halom achas, ein chayev al achas, and he's only chayev one chasas. So that is the parallel to doing two different malachas on Shabbos, and that's what we're saying. That's what we're saying so far. That's what Rava is saying. That's what the Braisa means to show that contrast between Shabbos and Avodah Zarah. Unlike Shabbos, with separate actions trigger separate chatois, here separate actions do not trigger separate chatois. Okay, now actually, in Sanhedrin, actually, Rabbi Yochanan says over there that this Braisa is wrong, and he disagrees with it. And in fact, the Rambam Paskin is not like that, but he is actually chayav for each individual avodah. But Rava wants to prove in our Gemara over here, Rava wants to prove that the Braisa is in fact valid and that he can use it as a source for his din. But before we get to using it as a source for his din, we also have to figure out. So okay, now we've established that part of the Braisa is correct, and that there is in fact that distinction between Shabbos and Avodah Zarah, where you can have a person does multiple actions on one Shabbos and he can be chayav multiple chatzaris for it. On the other hand, a person does multiple actions for an Avodah Zarah and he's not chayav multiple chatzaris for it, according to Rav Ami. So far, so good. But now let's figure out the Mai Ukibza. Okay, so what are you telling me then, that the Braisa, when it says Sha'ar Mitzvah, is talking not about all the other mitzvahs, but about one specific other mitzvah, namely Avodah Zarah, one specific other Isser, namely Avodah Zarah, Ema Seifa, but now let's work out the next part of the Braisa. Chomer b'shar mitzvot. We said that on the other hand, there's a chomer when it comes to other mitzvot. Shebashar mitzvot shogeg b'miskaven chayev mashentim b'shabbos. We said on the other hand, with other mitzvot, and again, we're going to assume that other mitzvot again means avodah zarah. If he was shogeg without kavana, then he's still chayev achatzas, as opposed to Shabbos, shogeg b'lo miskaven would be potter. So what does that mean? Hay shogeg b'lo miskaven avodah zarah hesi dum. When it comes to Avodah Zarah, how is there such a thing as Shogeg B'lo Miskaven? Shogeg B'lo Miskaven would mean we're not just talking about, in other words, regular Shogeg, where, for example, he didn't know that it's also to worship Avodah Zarah, or where he didn't know, let's say, this particular Avodah Zarah is worship using some other ritual. It's not normal to bring Karbonis to this one, so he didn't realize that it's actually also to bring a Karbon to it. So obviously that's a case of Shogeg, but you wouldn't call that B'lo Miskaven, because he did intend to do the action that he did. He did intend to shech the Karbon for it, for example. He just didn't know that's also fine. That's regular Shogeg. That's not Shogeg B'lo Miskaven. Where do we have by Avodah Zarah where you're going to have where not only it's shogeg but loy miskaven, he didn't even intend to do the action that he did, which turned out to be awesome. What is that? Elema, so Rava says like this, Elema, are you going to say the case is kisover beis haknesses uvishakala? Are you going to say that there's a case where, for example, he thought that a certain building is a shul, and therefore he bowed down towards that shul, intending to bow to Hashem, whose shechina rests in that shul, and then he finds out that it was actually a temple of Avodah Zarah, and therefore they accidentally bowed to Avodah Zarah. So what's the problem? Harei liboy l'shamayim. The fact is, he intended to worship Hashem, so there's no chiyuv over here. There's no chiyuv over here. In fact, Rashi goes so far as to say that even if he knew to begin with that it was a base of Avodah Zarah, and he bowed over there intending to bow to Hashem, then he wouldn't be high of chatas. The Ritva actually points out that now all Rashi is saying is he wouldn't be high of chatas in that case. It certainly is also, he certainly has to be moist and nefesh on that, because Avodah Zarah is one of the Yehorik Bal Yavos. But Rashi is saying, if in fact when he was bowing, he did intend that he's bowing in honor of Hashem, even if it was in fact in front of an Avodah Zarah, he's not actually bringing a chatas. So you can't call the case. So certainly you can't call the case where he mistook a church for a shul and bowed over there. You certainly can't say that would be the case where he brings a chatas. And then continues as he continues, the El of the Chazi and Gaucha, the Sogid law. So you're going to say maybe the case we're talking about, maybe Shogog Volemiskaben, means that he saw a statue of a king and he bowed down to it. Now, the statue of the king is usually not made to worship the king. Usually we're not talking, sometimes they had kings in those days that were deified and they worshiped them as actual Avodah Zarah. But your average king wasn't like that. They made statues of him like nowadays. You go around, you know, you have statues of George Washington and you know, of every other president, you know, nobody worships those statues. Nobody worships those statues. They make them in honor of the president or in honor of the heroic figure in American history or whatever. So let's say we're talking about, you're going to say that the case is a person saw one of those statues and bowed down to it, and you're going to call that Shogog Volemiskaben. But again, we have to ask, hey, Hidomi, what's the scenario where we're going to be making him chayav achatzis? If he actually, when he bows down to it, he actually declares, I am accepting the statue as my God. If he does that when he's bowing, mazid who? Then obviously he's a mazid. Then there's nothing to talk about him. Then there's nothing to talk about him bringing a chatos. A chatos is only when he does it to shogeg. So in fact, you certainly can't say that he's chayav a chatos for that. Where because if he accepted it be'lekah, if he said to the statue, you're my new god, then he could even be chayav skila. So chatas he's certainly not bringing. The eagle like kibla alei be'lekah, and if he did not verbally accept it as a god, so he only bowed down to it in honor of the king, lav kumu, then there's no problem with it. Again, maybe he shouldn't be bowing to it, but he's certainly not bringing a chatas for it because he's not bowing to it as of a desert. So what exactly is the case where we can call it where he did an action in front of a desert? For example, bowing, and we're calling it not only shogeg but shogeg beloy miskaven, because of a desert is one of those things where the intent that he did matters. So we're going to say, me'ava u'me'yira. Maybe we could be talking about that he bowed down to the statue because of ava or because of yira. Rashi explains over here and in other and also in Sanhedrin that ava and yira means either he's bowing to the Avodah Zarah, not because he actually believes in it, but either because he loves a certain person, that person is telling him, you should worship the Avodah Zarah, and he loves that person, and he goes, therefore, and bows down to it. Or Yira would be because he fears a person. A person is threatening him, if you don't bow down to it, then I'm going to kill you. And therefore, he goes and bows down to it. And he thinks you're allowed to do that. Now, of course, he's not allowed to do that. In the case of Ava, he's not allowed. In both cases, he'd have to be moitzeh nefesh not to. But he mistakenly thinks that it's allowed because called shogeg volemiskaben, because he thought that as long as he doesn't have kavana to actually accept the Avodah Zarah, so Rashi says shogeg b'hochi. His mistake is disover kivendei miskaben liberal elikus. He thinks he's not actually worshiping it as a god. He's only bowing down to it because of his love or his fear of somebody else. So he thinks therefore it's mutter. That's according to Rashi and Tosfos in various places. The Rambam has a whole different understanding. Rabbi Hanan also mentions over here a whole other understanding of Ava and Yira. Ava would mean that he loves the Avodah Zarah. For example, the Rambam gives an example. Let's say it's a very beautiful statue, and he falls in love with it because of its beauty. And Yira would be if he's afraid that it's going to somehow harm him. Now you have, for example, you know, you could have a person could be worshipping an Avodah Zarah, not because he actually believes that it's a god, but because he feels that it has maybe the power to harm him. In fact, the Ravid disagrees with the Rambam on that, because the Ravid says that's exactly how people worship Avodah Zarah. Very often, when people worship Avodah Zarah, they don't think that this is the being that created the world or whatever. They know the Korolei, the Kodei, the Kaya. They know that the god somewhere up there and then in the heavens, remote from the earth, and then he delegated various things in the world to the Avodah Zarahs, and therefore they have the power, and the Goyim think they have the power to help people or to hurt them. The person worships Avodah Zarah in that way. That's out and out Avodah Zarah. But that's how the Rambam learns, that it means that he's afraid of the Avodah Zarah. Or Ben Hananel here mentions another example. Let's say you have a person who makes themselves into Avodah Zarah, like Haman in the Megillah, and a person bows down to him, let's say, out of fear, as you have in the Megillah. They're all bowing down to Haman because they're all afraid of what the consequences are if he doesn't, and Mordechai doesn't. So we're going to say then, so again, the case is over here. Let's say a person bowed down to, so let's say, again, according to Rabbeinu Hananel, let's say a person bowed down to Haman, Mira, and then you're going to say it's called Shogeg L'Nisgavim because he mistakenly thinks that as long as he's not actually accepting Haman as his god, then it's allowed. The problem with that is, that only works according to Abaye, who says that in fact, in such a case, a person would be chayev chasev. But Rava, in fact, says that in such a case, a person worships Avodah Zarah out of Ava or Yira, he is in fact potter from a chasev. He's obviously also to do it, according to Rava as well, but he's not chayev chasev. My ikal meimar. Then what are you going to say? What are we talking about? What is Shogeg L'Nisgavim when it comes to Avodah Zarah? So you're going to say, Ela Ba'oimer Mutter. You're going to say, maybe you're talking about a case, a person who thinks that it's actually allowed to worship Avodah Zarah. Now, what would be the case? Rashi gives an example. Let's say you have a person, became, as we learned the other day, you have, let's say, for example, a Goy became a Ger while still living among the Goyim, so like, you know, traveling based in pass through. He went and was Megayer by them while they're passing through. They didn't teach him the details of the mitzvahs, and they didn't teach him in particular that Avodah Zarah is also for a Jew. And so now he doesn't even know that there's an Isser in the Torah of Avodah Zarah, and you're going to call it Shogeg L'Nisgavim and say that that's the case where still he's Chayev Achatas when it comes to Avodah Zarah, where in a parallel case with Shabbos he would be Potter. Tosfos actually says that not. Tosfos says that you can't really say that. If they, as we talked about the other day, If they never taught him about Avodah Zarah in the first place, you can't call him a ger. They don't have to teach him every single mitzvah, granted, but at least they have to teach him the basic concept that being a Jew involves rejecting Avodah Zarah. So therefore, so we'd have to say, necessarily we'd have to say maybe that we're talking about the Tinnik Shanishma, although that's the thing. The Gemara says it's hard to say that. So Masha'enkin b'Shabbos t'potu l'gamri, so you're going to say that in that case, you're saying by Shabbos, Oimer Mutter would be completely potter from a chatas, where he actually doesn't even know that there's an issue of Shabbos. The problem with that is, ad kam leibomine rova me Rav Nachman, we had on Ayin Amud Beis, we had the question that Rava asked Rav Nachman, where a person had a helem zeva zeva yodoy, where he didn't know that it's Shabbos, and he didn't know that these malachas are also, and Rava asked Rav Nachman, is he bringing one chatas for all the malachas that he did, or a separate chatas for each one? But Rava is only asking Rav Nachman, ela ila chayuvi chode, ila chayuvi tausen. He's asking him, does he bring one chatas because of the Helam Shabbos, or is he bringing multiple chatas because of the Helam Malachas? But even Rava is not taking as a possibility that he should be completely potter. Of course he's going to be chayv at least one chatas, and that's a classic case of Omer Mutter, because he didn't know the chlal that Shabbos is also. Now, this is not the case. This is not the case that we had the first case of our Mishnah back on Samach Zayin Amud Beis, where we said Kol Hashecheach Ipa Shabbos, where he forgot completely that there's ever such a thing as Shabbos, because Tosfos made the distinction over there and also here between whether he forgot it so completely that even if you reminded him about it, he wouldn't remember that there's such a thing as Shabbos and that Malachas are also, versus here we're talking about it was like a short-term forgetfulness. He forgot about that it's Shabbos and that the Malachas are also, but if you remind him, he's going to remember. That's why Tosfos says it's very hard to say that would be talking about the case of the Tinnik Shanishba, because the Tinnik Shanishba is not going to be in that situation where you remind him and on the spot he's going to remember. But the point is, in that case, where he had short-term memory loss, that he forgot about Shabbos and about the Malachas, Rava is asking if he chayev one chatos or multiple chatos, but definitely not that he chayev no chatos at all. So how can our Braisa be implying that in a case of Oimer Mutter on Shabbos, there would be no chatos at all? Ela lav reisha ba'akum v'sefer b'shamitzer. So obviously, therefore, Rava says, obviously, therefore, Rava says we have to be talking about that the Reisha of the Braisa is talking about, is contrasting Shabbos with Avodah Zarah. The Sefer, the Shabbos, whereas the Sefer is contrasting other mitzvahs, meaning not Avodah Zarah, but other mitzvahs with Shabbos. So therefore, in other words, the Braisa is saying there's a certain aspect in which Shabbos is, in which Shabbos you have more Chatois versus Avodah Zarah. On the other hand, you have other mitzvahs where you have other mitzvahs where you have more Chatois than with Shabbos. And what is that case? Again, given that we said there's no shogeg going to scaven when it comes to Avodah Zarah, we've eliminated all the possibilities, at least according to Rava. So necessarily we have to be talking shogeg going to scaven means something involving other mitzvahs. And what is that case? Shogeg going to scaven, like the Shah Mitzvah's Heichi Dami, would have to be, let's say, involving Chelev, the Sover the Shumanu. So let's say a person had a piece of fat in front of him. He thought that it was Shuman, which you were allowed to eat, the Ochloi, and he ate it. That's shogeg bo miskaven, because he didn't even intend to eat chaylev. Now, this is something called misasik. And now, so it's called misasik, because as we said before, he didn't intend to do an action which would even be osu, because he didn't even intend to do chaylev, which is osu. Nevertheless, he'd still be chayev in the case of chaylev. The Gemara mentions in Krisus that when it comes to chaylev, also when it comes to arayas, even misasik is chayev, because after all, he had hanah, as opposed to Shabbos, Mash'enkin b'Shabbos to Potter, as opposed to Shabbos, we would say is Potter, and that would be, what's the case of Misasik on Shabbos again, where he thought that it was one thing and it turned out to be something else. Diniskaven lachtechas atolosh v'chosechas amachover Potter. So the Braisa would be implying that if he intended to cut something that was detached from the ground, and instead he cut something that was attached, again, according to Rashi's explanation, we're talking two different vegetables. According to Tosfos, we're talking even the same vegetable, but he made a mistake as far as the status of it. Then he'd be potter. So Rava says, there is my proof that Misasik even includes that case, and he would be potter as far as Shabbos. So there you go, Rava says. So I'm saying that if he intended to cut the one tomato which was detached, and by mistake he cut the other one which was attached, or according to Tosfos, even it was the same tomato itself, he thought it was detached, it turned out it was attached, he would be potter. Why? Because the Braisa is contrasting that with the case where he thought that it was Shuman, and it turned out to be Chelev. And the Braisa is saying, by Chelev you would be chayev, because after all he had Hanah, and the concept of Misasik being potter does not apply where he had Hanah to go, whereas by Shabbos it would, and there you go. So therefore you see Misasik even covers that case. There, Abaya, so what would Abaya answer to that? He would say, no, I can explain, you're right, I agree, Rava, that shogeg bo miskaven does not cannot be referring to something involving Avodah Zarah, because you're right, you couldn't really find such a case. According to Abaya himself, you could find a case where he worshipped it because of Abba and Yira, and we're still saying, it's Chayev Chatas, but Abaya would say, even if we leave that aside, even if we're going to assume, like you say, Rava, that the second half of the Braisa is talking about Shabbos versus Chelev, I can still find something involving Chelev that is similar to my case where he's potter, but not your case. That would be shogeg bo miskaven heichi dami. What would be the example of shogeg without miskaven? Would be disover heichi dami, disover roiku. Suppose he had in front of him fat that was melted. He thought that it was saliva. That he thought it's something that's mutter for him. For him to eat or to swallow. Rashi actually mentions the idea, when it comes to saliva, you can't really speak of eating it, you can only speak of swallowing it, as opposed to chaylev, you can speak of eating it. So it's an actual different action. So he didn't intend to eat anything at all, he only intended to swallow something. The Meiri, in fact, explains that we're talking about, let's say it was already in his mouth, and he thought that it was spit, and then he's going to swallow it, not realizing that what he has in his mouth right now is actually chaylev. And he swallowed it, and nevertheless, again, even though So there we're talking about it was two different actions. He intended to swallow something that's not meant to be edible, and instead he actually ate something which is meant to be edible. And nevertheless, the Braisa is saying he's chayev even though he's misasik, and even though if this is a Abaya's definition of misasik, that we're talking two different actions. And the reason is, again, because he had hana after all. Mash'enkin b'Shabbos to Potter, as opposed to Shabbos, he would be Potter. Because only again where there were two different actions where he intended to do one action of picking up, and he instead did a different action of cutting. In Rashi's scenario, he intended to pick up the knife, and instead accidentally cut off a vegetable. Then he would be potter. because again, that's, there's two different actions involved, picking up versus cutting, as opposed, which is similar to intending to swallow saliva versus eat chaylev. But a buyer would say, but if in fact he did intend to do a certain action, then if that action comes out to be an iser, then he would be chayev, which would be the equivalent of if he intended to eat this piece, thinking that it was shuman, and it turned out to be chaylev. That would not be the case where the brai says, that would not be the case that the brai says calling shogag bo miskaven. He would be chayev by chaylev anyway, because he had hana. And in that case, in a parallel case by Shabbos, Abaye says he would be chayev as well, because after all, the actual action that he ended up doing was the original action that he intended to do, namely an action of cutting. It's just the difference is he intended to do a cutting that was mutter, and he did a cutting that's also. Abaye says you can't call that misasik. So that's that then. So far, now we'll continue tomorrow, Beth Hashem, with another case that Abaye and Rava argue on Misasik, and then that discussion will take us until the next Mishnah. But where we stand is that Abaye and Rava have different definitions of Misasik. When it comes to chaylev, again, it doesn't matter. Even Misasik is chayev achatas, because he had a hana, also a raya, same thing. But when it comes to Shabbos and most other Isurim, where Misasik is kosher, then Abaye and Rava are arguing on the definition of Misasik. Does it require that he was intending to do one kind of action, and instead he did a different kind of action, which turned out to be an iser? Or is it that even if he did the same kind of action that he intended to, there's a lot of noise from somebody, if you can mute a second. If he intended to do some kind of action, and it turned out he did the same action, but something else, or according to Tosfos, even to the same thing, and it was also, is that considered misasik? Abaye says no, therefore he's chayav hatas. Rava says even that is considered misasik, and therefore he's potter.
Even if he had in mind to do something else, the fact that he did something was also according to Abaye.
No, we're not talking about the question whether it's also. We're talking about the question, is he chayav hatas? Is he chayav chatos? Rava is going to say, even though in the end what he did was cutting a vegetable, which in the end what he did is he cut off a vegetable from the ground, which makes him chayav, which in and of itself would make him chayav chatos, because that's the malacha of kaitis. But in this case, because to begin with he wasn't intending to cut a vegetable from the ground, he was intending to cut something. He was intending to cut a vegetable that was not attached to the ground. Then Rava calls him misasik and says he's potter. Where's
Abaye?
Abaye says that's not misasik. Misasik would be if he intended to do a different action than he ended up doing. So again, in Rashi's scenario, he intended to pick up the knife, and instead, in the course of picking up the knife, he accidentally cut a vegetable off from the ground. That's Abaye says that's misasik. Then he would be culture.
So Rava has a different intent, and Abaye a different action to be misasik.
Yeah, I guess you could say that. Yeah.
Okay.
So in this case, yeah. So it comes out that Abaye is being more strict. Abaye would say in Rava's case, right, he would actually be chayev, right? Yeah. Right. The Rambam passed things like Rava. So even though it was the same action that he actually accomplished in the end, but because he didn't intend to do the action to something that was after, then therefore he's potter.
Is that a principle of Ikar HaMaase?
When it comes to Shabbos, we have a concept called Melechas Nachsheves Aser Torah. The Torah after is only a melacha that you intended to do. So therefore, you have, again, when it comes to Shabbos, when it comes to most other Isurim, you have a concept called Misasik, and with Shabbos, you have extra things as well. You have Melacha Shein Tzrich Legufa, and other such considerations that we've talked about. But Misasik applies across the board to most Isurim, except for Chaylev and Arayim.
Mm-hmm. In which case, Chaylev and Arayim is...
Chaylev and Arayim, yeah. So therefore he's chayev, even though he only did it as misasik. So misasik by chaylev, again, would be an example, as we just said. Let's say, for example, according to Rava, he thought that it was shuman, and he ate it, and it turned out it was chaylev. And according to Abaye, he thought that it was saliva, and he swallowed it, and it turned out that it was chaylev. Both of those, we're saying, would be chayev, because both of those are called misasik, because after all, his body did have hana from chaylev. But not by Shabbos, and not by most other Yisroelim.
Mm-hmm. Shkeyach.
Okay, shkeyach.
7 a.m. tomorrow.
Good luck. 7 a.m. tomorrow, Beth Hashem, yep.